All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long in studio. Steve Geller will join us at 5:45 for our Pick 6 segment on Triple Option. At 6:10, Jeff Nowak will join Steve and talking about the injury to Eric McCoy, and certainly we'll talk about that now. It's a major loss for this football team. It was first reported by Mike Garofalo this morning from the NFL Network that Eric would miss 6 to 8 weeks due to the injury, groin injury that he had. So, again, the reshuffling you saw is now in full effect along the Saints' offensive line. And remember, too, and I think we'll get an even bigger picture of this tomorrow, a really physical football game where we saw for the Saints guys go down like a Cesar Ruiz, Tyrann Mathieu, Alvin Kamara, DeMario Davis. They'll be on that injured list tomorrow. And we still not certain about when a return will be for Taysom Hill. And for the Eagles, two guys who got concussions in that game, their starting right tackle in Lane Johnson, Devontae Smith. So it was a real physical football game. But to lose a guy like McCoy, it's two for one. You lose your best offensive lineman that you have. Down the road, Taliese Fuaga may be that guy, but right now it's Eric McCoy, and he plays such a pivotal position at center where you have to do so many things up front. First of all, you got to make sure the snap is right on each and every down, not 90% of the time, but 100%. You're helping the guards. You're picking up the protection. You're getting all the other two guards and tackles straightened out. And the Saints ran a lot of tight end, keeping them in after McCoy went down, and that's going to continue now, where you're going to see the tight end used up front to help in blocking. Lucas Patrick has started 56 games in this league at either guard or center. He's an experienced player. He's an average player. Eric McCoy, as a starter, is an all-pro type center. Lucas Patrick is a slightly above average guard in this league.
Lucas Patrick was a slightly above average guard that was playing at a Pro Bowl level at left guard because of Eric McCoy.
Man, Eric McCoy, people don't realize how important that center position is. We talked about it so much last night, but again, it goes back to this is the second. Now, Ramczyk, you lost him before the season even started. You're starting right tackle, and I think maybe we've seen the last of Ryan Ramczyk, just a great career, but injuries have cut that short. And then what happens if Cesar Ruiz missed time? Because really the left guard position, which now Ole Udo has, that was really given to Saldivari, Nick Saldivari. They thought he was going to be the guy. Then he misses training camp almost completely for a second straight year.
With the calf injury.
You got Landon Young, who had seen some playing time at guard. You paper thin there. Do you bring back Shane Lemieux, who has played and started games in the NFL at guard? Again, there's some veterans out there at this stage, but it was the one area I think we were all concerned about to start the season. They played way above expectations week 1 and 2. You sort of saw once McCoy wasn't in the lineup, it wasn't quite the same. And give Vic Fangio a lot of credit. Six-man front. Played a lot of 6-1 defense against the Saints. Basically saying, you're not going to run the football against me. I'm going to stop you. The Saints did try 29 rushes, but, man, it was not real a lot of success running the football against that Eagles defense. And so, again, a major loss for this football team to have Eric McCoy. You can say next man up. Okay, that's great for the locker room. That's great for the players. But in reality, the next guy, he isn't as good as Eric McCoy. And this is 2-for-1. Now you're moving Lucas Patrick to center, and that's where he's going to be. And now you got, you know, Udo, he was out there for a reason. And so what do you do at the left guard? What happens if Cesar Ruiz is hurt to the point where he can't play? Do you swing around there and Saul DeVary becomes part of the mix again?
It's a nightmare scenario, Mike. I mean, just call a spade, right? Like, if you're looking at what happened against the Eagles, and it's been very highly publicized that Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis, they were motivated. Dennis Allen talked about it last night on the Saints coaches show. They won the interior battle.
They won up front.
They bullied the Saints interior offensive line without Eric McCoy. If Eric McCoy's there, we could be having a completely different story. But it's not just the impact that he has himself as a player, as we've mentioned, the impact that he has on the other offensive linemen, especially on the interior, Cesar Ruiz and Lucas Patrick. The way that all this offense was clicking, especially with the rushing attack, a lot of it was focused on Eric McCoy. And now you're without him for 6 to 8 weeks. You look at kind of the timeline and the Saints schedule and when you're expecting him to be back, the 8-week mark puts him around basically week 10 to week 11. And then the Saints have a bye the week after. So they have that week 12 bye, which is in between the Browns game and then the Rams game. Yeah. So depending on how he recovers, Mike, you and I talked a little bit about this off air. I mean, you could see him missing a lot of time and potentially him maybe returning. This is all speculation at this point.
Because a big man with that groin injury, in talking to a few doctors who have done quite a few of them, they relayed to me that a smaller guy will come back a little quicker, that he could maybe reach it in 6 weeks. And you never know how people recover from injuries. That part is you never know about people with injuries and recovery time. A lot of people bring up, just move Cesar Ruiz to center. Okay, he has played there, but here's my deal. He's hurt.
It's bad.
So,
it's really bad.
So now you're reshuffling things all across the board. And Patrick has seen a lot of work there. You're still 2-for-1. And no matter what, if you move Ruiz over to – he won't play center this week. That's for sure. He won't play center this week.
No, because, I mean, that's what you had last week was Patrick shifting over to center. And that's what you imagine is going to happen this upcoming week and for the foreseeable future until he returns. And my entire point with going on the timeline spiel was I think if you're looking at when Eric McCoy can return – and Mike Garofalo said it's not season ending, which is the good thing – you probably want to give him that extra week two leading into the bye, right? So maybe you could see McCoy returning by week 13. You just got to see how this offense looks without a major key piece for that amount of time.
Okay, here's the other crazy part of it. Bob and I talked about this last night so much about all the injuries the 49ers have on both sides of the football. Well, Atlanta, Drew Dolman, their starting center, he's going to be out at least 4 weeks with a high ankle sprain. And we don't know about Caleb McGarry with the right knee injury. He's their starting right tackle. So this is a game of attrition of who can survive and not have all the major injuries. I do expect tomorrow you're going to have a very lengthy injury list for the Saints. And who can basically man up this weekend when they play the Falcons, and you can hear that game live right here on the Big 870 WWL. We're talking a lot more about Eric McCoy, what the Saints will do up front. But in our next segment, it's Tulane Tuesday. We'll have one with us, the Green Wave head football coach, John Sumrall, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870. Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long in studio. Today is Tulane Tuesday and is brought to you by Bayou Black Electric, your electrical connection in the heart of South Louisiana. Learn more at Bayou Black blackelectric.com. On our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, the head football coach of the Tulane Green Wave, John Sumrall. John, thanks so much for joining us. And, Coach, you got a W, hard-fought win against the Raging Cajuns, and at least I didn't have to hear Charlie Long talk to me about his Raging Cajuns winning. So, hey, I owe you one. I didn't have to hear it for the last 3 days.
Yeah, I'll let you take me to lunch. Tough game, man. Good team. Conditions, it was hot, really hot. You know, playing on field turf in that heat, it's even hotter than the actual temperature. I've heard or seen a couple of people say it was anywhere between 138 and 140 something on the field is what it felt like. Kudos to our guys. Man, we had at halftime, we had five guys need IVs, which is really kind of a normal number in most games. That's not outrageous. And so, really challenging game. They got a good team. It's always a competitive game. And just glad to be able to come out with a win.
Coach, I go back to this game, and you relied on the bread and butter. You only threw the football 17 times. But, man, 47 rushes, 272 yards, 5.8 yards a clip. And, man, what can I say about Makai Hughes? I mean, 23 carries, 166 yards, averaged 7.2 yards a carry. Man, you gave him the two buckets of water that were full, and he carried it.
Yeah, he did. I tell you, each week we have a plan to win, and I always give the team – three keys to victory. Every week it's different. You know, it's not like every game's the same. Each matchup's unique. Each matchup's different. Every team that you're playing has different strengths and weaknesses. And I really had looked back and kind of studied. I kind of go back and look and study how is a team that we're playing, how have they won when they've won, and how have they lost when they lost. And so sort of a formula to winning against Louisiana Lafayette, a big staple is, you need to at least neutralize the run game numbers. It doesn't mean you have to win the run game, but if you neutralize it or play close to even, you got a shot. And so I told our team, I didn't want to neutralize that. We needed to win it. And to outrush them by 100 yards, that was really key number one to victory, was win the run game. And Makai, man, such a big-time effort by him. You know, probably the most impressive part of all of it, he was sick the back end of the week, and on Saturday he wasn't 100%. Like, wow. He was a little under the weather, and we had to sub him a little more because of his illness and the heat than you might do in some situations. But he played well. Ty Thompson came in, ran the ball well at times. Trey Cornish, one of our backup running backs, I thought ran it really well. And so winning the run game, huge, huge indicator of success in that matchup. We felt like it would lead to an opportunity to have success and win a game.
Coach, you give up 33 points, but what stuck out to me was the fact you were able to get off the field, especially in the second half. On third down plays, UL only converted 2 of 9. They went for it on fourth down 3 times, only converted 1. So if you add that up together, they were 3 for 12 on conversion situations, and you were able to get off the field and you won the turnover battle. Defensively, okay, giving up 33, it's the way the game's played today. But your defense at least were able to get off the field on third and fourth down. I thought that was a big key to victory also, along with controlling things up front along the line of scrimmage.
Mike, I'm going to piggyback that real quick, because offensively, third downs were huge too. Tulane was at 1.9 of 12. I know they finished 9 of 14, but the drive extender, you talked about, Coach, the run game being so important in this game. I think you wore down UL's defense, specifically with the run game, getting into those, kind of manageable third down situations where you were just able to run it and keep drives alive, these long extended drives in that hot heat. Like, I mean, it was a great game plan, and it worked out, because not only were you getting off the field and third down defensively, you were staying on it and extending drives on third down offensively.
And so, Coach, that's always a big key to W's.
No, it's huge. Well, to y'all's point, we had 3 drives in a game that lasted more than 7 minutes.
Yep.
All right? Like, so you're chewing up clock. You're making the other team's defense play extended drives and wearing them down a little bit. You know, there's two ways you can wear out a defense. One is by playing with tempo, and we do that a little here and there, but we're not explicitly a tempo team. And then the other way is by you know, controlling the football and running the ball and chewing up the clock and making them play a lot of time on the field. And, you know, the third down numbers oftentimes reflect first down success. Yep. You know, you have a positive first down and then you're able to get to third and 1-3. Well, there's a lot of play calls our offensive staff likes at 3rd and 1 and 3. You know, but you get into 3rd and 7-10, not as many play calls we like. It's harder to convert. And so the thing defensively that we did by winning on third down, we did a nice job on those situations. Defensively, I wasn't really pleased with the overall performance. I don't like, you know, and you said, Mike, like, nature of the beast in college football, now getting up 33. I'm not accustomed to that. I don't really like it. It bothers me. I'm a defensive guy, and the last few years, I haven't been given – I'm not used to giving up that many points very often.
It's not a good day for you. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not – I'm not a big fan of it. So I'd like to play better defense, but we had some very obvious highs on defense. We had some very glaring lows. You know, I mean, there were some really quality things, a pick six and the third downs, like y'all mentioned, really, really good. I thought we gave up too many explosive plays that were cheap plays that weren't, you know, everybody we play is pretty good, including that bunch last week. You got to make them earn it and don't give them anything. Well, we kind of gave them some stuff that really is frustrating because they're going to make plays even when you defend them well. We didn't defend them well in a few of the big plays. And so we got to get a lot better on defense real fast because the outfit we got coming in here this week, if we play the way we played last week, we'll get our butts kicked and we'll give up 50 points. So we got to get better fast.
Coach, 8 penalties in the game, too. I know one thing. Man, Bob was here. He always said, Mike, I hate it. 8. Over. If you get over 6 penalties in a game, that's not good. You got 8 in this football game. Now, the crazy part about it is man, you and Coach Mike, you're giving away a scholarship here. Each of y'all punted once in the game, but it goes to show you that's the way the world is. But the 8 penalties is something, as a defensive coach, I know you hate that part of the game when you give that up.
I didn't like it. We had 5 DPIs, you know, and a couple of them I think were good calls. A couple of them, like, I'm like, all right, the guys are going to play. Like, one of them, their receiver was engaging with our DB first. I'm like, well, how are we supposed to – what, he's supposed to let him push us around? Like, so I'm not going to, you know, referees, they make judgment calls. It is what it is. But 5 DPIs, that's way too many. Like I said, a couple of them I thought were very valid calls. I thought we were a little handsy at the top of the route on a couple of them. But not pleased with that. You know, it's funny. You study all these things. We got to be more disciplined. But it is funny. You study all the indicators to success, and run games one of them, turnovers are one of them, there's a lot of them. Penalties, usually, other than critical ones that cost you in key moments, don't usually have a huge correlation on winning or losing, but we got to get it cleaned up. I used to always track everybody. I mean, I study football all the time. It's what we do. And, you know, Coach Saban's teams at Alabama, a lot of times were highly penalized. Well, sometimes, and there's penalties that you know, will piss you off as a coach more than others. I don't want dumb penalties. I don't want, you know, personal fouls. I don't want stuff like that. We got a late hit the other day on a roughing the quarterback where we're hitting him right as he's throwing the ball. And I'm like, well, it's still football. Like, we're still supposed to try to tackle the guy. And so there's some stuff in there we got to clean up. There's some stuff in there that I can live with. But 8 is way too many. That's not okay. And so we got to clean up the ones that are costly. And some of them, sometimes you're playing hard, you're playing through contact, you're going to have a few of those here and there, but we don't need 8 of them, that's for damn sure.
Coach, so, yeah, I mean, you talked about the big plays, and it felt like there was really a back-and-forth game, except for basically like a 3-minute span right before halftime and, of course, right out of halftime. We already talked about the pick six. I mean, it was a tie game, but then that pick six was a huge momentum swing. The Cajuns tack on a field goal, so it's 17-13 heading into half. But then Rayshon Pleasant, who's a guy that we've brought up with you before, obviously the AAC player, defensive player of the week a couple weeks back for a gigantic pick six that they had against Southeastern. But, I mean, a house call, 94-yard kick return. I know, you know, it wasn't perfect on special teams. Ethan Head, the freshman kicker, missed a late field goal. But, I mean, that is you go from 17-13, all of a sudden it's like a lightning strike. From 10-10, all of a sudden 24-13. It was just a huge momentum swing. And as I was saying, the pendulum was back and forth and back and forth. But that was really kind of what decided the game, in my opinion.
Yeah, the kickoff return was huge. You know, we had seen something that we thought in the first half on the kickoff coverage unit. We'd seen something schematically that we felt like we could maybe take advantage of, and we ran a little bit different return on an opening one than we did early in the game. Rayshon, we blocked it pretty good. Rayshon hit the seam and was able to capitalize. And, you know, you get a guy like that, you know, a little bit of space, he's got the speed to make somebody pay. And that, you know, he's really filling in for Shoddy Clayton. He's been our backup kickoff returner throughout the year. And Shoddy was out last week. He'll be back and available this week. But Ray really took advantage of that situation and did a nice job. And you're dead on. It was, as soon as you thought, you know, you hit that, and I'm like, all right, we're about to maybe open this thing up here. Well, they come back and we give up a long run, and they score a few plays later. So it was very back and forth in the fourth quarter. There wasn't a whole lot of stopping anybody. It didn't feel like for a little while there, and there were big time momentum swings with scores kind of being traded back and forth for a while.
Coach, give you a little time to maybe talk about South Florida. I know one thing we do in pregame, postgame for LSU, and Herb Tyler tells me, Mike, did I see that right? Into the third quarter, Alabama 14, South Florida 13. I was like, they ain't putting them back on the schedule because they played them a tough game a year ago. Now again, yeah. They scored 28 points in the fourth quarter and sort of blew that game open, 42-16. But man, you had Alabama on the ropes a little bit there. You couldn't put them away. A little bit of scouting on South Florida, strengths, weaknesses of that team.
Yeah, they're really talented. I tell you, you look at them, the first thing that's like when you don't even turn the tape on yet, but you just look at the depth chart, the first thing that sticks out from a coaching perspective is out of the 11 offensive starters and the 11 defensive starters they've got, they're starting 16 seniors and 5 juniors, okay? So they got 21 of their 22 guys, their juniors or seniors, they're starting. To have a veteran group that's experienced and, you know, they've played good competition and they've really grown a lot. I think they're probably the most improved team in our conference the last couple of years. And so they've got a lot of guys that play a lot of football. They're older. Offensively, they play with a lot of tempo. They're a very fast-paced team. Byron Brown, their quarterback, he's sort of the guy that makes it all go on offense. He's their leading passer and their leading rusher. They got three really good backs that they kind of roll through. It's running back by committee a little bit, so they all get good rushing yards, but the quarterback gets a lot of yards. And big O-line, good skill guys on the perimeter, and then defensively they're very aggressive. And so, you know, they like you said, the Alabama game, that wasn't a fluke. Watching
no,
it on tape,
it?
Like they got after them. I mean, they played really good. And I think kind of unique, like these guys' schedule and ours probably resemble each other more than anybody in our league because they played Alabama and Miami. We played Oklahoma and Kansas State. We both have played pretty good non-conference schedules up to this point. And they're a great team, a veteran team. That's extremely well coached. You know, Alex Golish, their head coach, he's done a good job. This is the second year there. They really established their culture last year. And you can tell right now watching them play that they're all in their second year of playing in the system and they're getting more and more comfortable. So it's a tremendous challenge we have here at home on Saturday.
Coach, talking about Coach Goach, I know one thing. With all them seniors you just named off, I know where he'll be next year in the portal.
Man, oh yeah,
that's a lot of seniors, Hoss. But good luck this coming Saturday against South Florida, Coach.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you. Roll wave.
All thanks, righty. Coach.
Thank you, Coach. Coach John Summerall, Tulane head football coach. Tulane Tuesday is brought to you by Bayou Black Electric, your electrical connection in the heart of South Louisiana. Learn more at BayouBlackElectric.com. We'll be back. We'll have on with us from Fox Sports, Kelsey Nicole Nelson, who covers the Washington, D.C. area, and be talking about a feel-good story, what you saw from Jaden Daniels last night with the Commanders. We'll be back with Kelsey right after this break here on the Big 870 WWE.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. for millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more rings.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Yeah. We're back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870. Mike Dettillo along with Charlie Long in studio. And on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line, she covers the Washington Commanders along with the Baltimore Ravens, basketball, you name it. Kelsey does it all. Kelsey Nicole Nelson, listening in with KNN, Fox Sports host. And Kelsey, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon. And it's like, for people here in Louisiana that watch Jaden, we've seen him do that. The nation got to see Jaden Daniels last night. Two touchdown passes. He runs for one. And so he accounts for three touchdowns, and he got two passing completions. What an unbelievable performance, considering what we had saw with Josh Allen, who put on a great show for the Bills, and what Joe Burrow did. The spotlight was stolen by the kid himself, Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, well, first off, it's so great to join you, Mike and Charlie. And let me tell you, it's an exciting time in Washington, D.C. right now. Like you said, the world got to witness, I think, who truly Jaden Daniels is. And I'll tell you, it's cold and wet and rainy here, and that's the forecast all week. But nobody cares right now, Mike, because Monday Night Football, like, there's smiles on faces. You know, I teach an 8 a.m. class in the morning. Most of my students are from out of town. They couldn't wait to say, Professor Nelson, did you see what Jaden Daniels did last night? Like, no one predicted that. That he'd be able to lead this, Commanders offense that we were still trying to figure out their identity to 38 points. And like you said, take down a guy like Joe Burrow, right? One of the best quarterbacks in the National Football League. But I will tell you, I think Jaden Daniels certified himself, you know, last night. You know, I remember when Jaden Daniels was, you know, number two pick, and there was people like, oh, Kelsey, Drake May. And, you know, we think there's going to be some guys that are better. He's too skinny. And all of just these other doubts that folks had. I think last night he kind of silenced a lot of the critics and really, I think, ushered in the new era that the Commanders have been selling. We know there's new ownership here. Obviously, you know, this is a newer team. We have newer pieces in the Commanders locker room. But I think now people are finally believing and buying what the Commanders have been selling. So it was an impressive performance. That locker room, a lot happier. You're hearing guys who have been there through the kind of tumultuous Snyder times, you know, when playoffs were wishful thinking, Mike, because they were very bleak and rare to happen. all of a sudden, you know, the word hope has been thrown around. And then, you know, I thought back to a month ago, right, when Jaden Daniels was named QB1. And essentially the coaching staff said he was named QB1 because he was going to give a chance. And I think a chance is what we all got to witness last night. And already, you know, people are talking about him, you know, being able to pass in the pocket. Obviously, you all know that he can run as well. And I know Lamar Jackson is one of the guys that he looks up to in the National Football League. He also is getting credit for sliding. There's a lot of baseball fans here.
I was going to ask you about that.
He did it last night.
He didn't do that at LSU, Kelsey. No, Brian Kelly.
We need him to do that. No. We cannot have him hurt, Mike, here
no.
in D.C. We've been through too many quarterbacks.
Coach Kelly told me, Mike, we work with him on the slide or try to get out of bounds, but he doesn't do it. And that's always a big concern for me. The NFL is a different business. They're going to try to take your head off at the NFL level, but we did see him slide. We did see him go out of bounds. Now,
right.
He's got a body, that's another term, but it's almost like Gumby. Because I've seen him get hit all kind of different ways, and, man, his body contorts a little bit, and he's able to take a big shot. One thing is, he's tough. You talk about a physically tough guy, and I told you this off the air. He's one of the most humble guys, and sometimes you wouldn't know if you won or you lost with him, almost like you got a dig for a heartbeat, because he's so calm and he's so poised in the biggest moments. And you saw it late last night, over a 7-minute drive to finish that game, and he hits that dart. Now, he gets popped in the chest, on that play, and he threw a dart to Terry McLaurin, who comes up with a great catch in there. And he was talking about it after the game, that that was something he had talked to Cliff Kingsbury about. Let's run that play, but run it out of a little different formation. So, man, all I know, Kelsey, he is a tough dude, smart guy, always thanks the man above. Interview I've always done with him, he'll say that I've been blessed by God, and he works so hard at his craft, and you really have a lot of respect for a young player like that.
Yeah, I think it's his graciousness that he gets praised for. You talked about it. I mean, no one questions Jaden Daniels' work ethic, you know, in that locker room. You know, and I think that's important, because I think we have to remember this is a Commanders franchise, and may he rest in peace. But the late Dwayne Haskins, when he was in that locker room, it was some questions about his work ethic, right? And if he was truly committed to the job of football. So there has been a question in the Commanders locker room before. Of course, they were under a different name at that time. And I think you have to remember, too, that the Commanders have been through a lot of quarterbacks. You talked about his toughness, Mike, earlier. And it's a toughness that I think a lot of folks here in D.C. felt like. They liked that toughness from Taylor Heineke, though they knew he wasn't the guy to be quarterback for long term, right? But it's that type of toughness. But then they liked Jaden Daniels as well, because he has the athleticism and skill and speed of an RG3 when he was here. So I think he kind of combined some of the best quarterback quality, something that kind of past quarterbacks have had here in Washington, but they hadn't been the total package. And also, I think people love Jaden Daniels because he's a mama's boy, right? At the end of the day, we know how close he is with his mom.
He is.
And, you know, right across the beltway here in my neck of the woods, Lamar Jackson, same thing, a mama's boy. And I think that gets some praise, because obviously folks are like, you know, he's focused on the main thing and what needs to be focused on. And I think even the bigger thing that needs to be talked about Jaden Daniels, I was on in New York a week ago, and everyone was talking about, okay, yeah, Jaden Daniels, he's killed, you know, no turnovers. But he couldn't get to the end zone, right, in that Giants game, right? And we had a brand-new kicker in Austin Seward off the street, essentially, that was able to get that Commanders win. So, you know, Commanders are like, okay, yes, we got the win against New York, but it was field goal. But, you know, no football fan is excited about that. So the fact that he was able to get into the end zone and then obviously get guys going, I think people don't realize, so Terry McLaurin, we know how gifted he is, but I think he really does get underrated, not because of his talent, but because of the quarterbacks that have been throwing to him. The fact that he got to get Scary Terry activated, and we saw what the Bengals were trying to do in coverage to Terry, I think that was huge. This is a guy who's been in the league since 2019, has been through way too many quarterbacks for anyone to go through. But he has a confidence, I will say, in Jaden that I haven't seen. And I feel like Terry really does feel like this is a guy, again, a veteran in that locker room that's looking at the young guy that's truly believing. And on the sidelines, all the guys were believing in him. It was just a happiness, Mike, that I haven't seen in a while. You know, with the Commanders, you know, we've seen guys fighting on the sidelines with the Commanders not too long ago. Obviously, we've had different coaches. And so this is a new Commanders team that I think everyone, again, is buying into. Now, I know it's still early. It's week three, folks. And I know everyone's super excited. But for folks that don't realize, outside of D.C., like, this is a big thing. this is not at we don't get too many nice things sometimes, feels like, in a football sense in D.C. So it's just been really fun to see how he's galvanized, you know, so many here in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area.
Kelsey, we had someone call in, and they made a great point. I think Kurt Warner had brought this up in the broadcast last night on the radio broadcast with Westwood One, that it could be a great trivia question one day about his first NFL passing touchdown to Trent Scott, the 7-year offensive tackle.
Yes.
Trent is a guy I know a lot about. Trent went to Grambling. He bounced around the professional ranks. He's from Alabama, and he had some people, relatives of his, that got in touch with me about, where do you think Trent will go? And I was like, maybe a late-round pick, but most likely a free agent. And I could see athletically, he's very gifted. What he needed was work on his technical skills, more his hand placement than anything else, because he was always bigger, stronger, faster than everybody else. And he bounced around this league. He might have found a home in Washington.
Yeah, 7-year vet. But that's just a side note. I think that's fun. The one thing
on Football Jeopardy, that's a good one.
That would be a fun one. But the one thing that stood out to me about Jaden Daniels, and it stood out basically the three games that he's played, is the one word that Mike and I have brought up when we've talked about him, poise. He looks like a veteran. He does not look like a rookie. And there was that one moment we talked about, you know, the splash plays to Terry McLaurin where he just threw dimes both times, the 55-yard pass and then the touchdown late in the game that basically sealed it. But I remember there was that one fourth down where Jaden basically told the sideline, we're going for it. We're going for it. And the coaches had the trust for him to go for it, and he throws another dart. I mean, he was just fantastic. He was in his bag last night, but all the one question that keeps coming up is like, oh, is he too small? Is he like, is he not ready for the NFL?
Right.
But the one thing that I think of is the poise that I see when I'm watching Jaden Daniels throw the football. He just looks like a veteran.
His calmness under pressure.
Yes, absolutely.
That sticks out so much with him.
It's needed, right? I mean, they went into this. No one had the Commanders winning this game, right? We knew there was a vengeance from Joe Burrow after that crazy Chiefs game. And you know, there are high predictions of what Cincinnati Bengals could be. I mean, you have a rookie that you're throwing in there in primetime, which, mind you, the Commanders over time have not played well in primetime games, you know. And so for him to be able to do that, I do think it was huge. And even just going back to that 55-yard ball that you mentioned, Charlie, I think it was a big one because for the Commanders, deep balls and having a true deep ball threat, which you know Terry McLaurin is, has been something they have been trying to work on. And so I think for him to finally get that, I thought that was big confidence booster. But overall, like you said, I mean, you didn't see him flustered, right? And we have seen through 3 weeks of football, we have seen a lot of veteran quarterbacks who are very, very, who are, you know, very well known, who are great quarterbacks. We've seen it. I mean, look at Joe Burrow on the other end of things, right? So all that to say, I mean, young but ready, I think, is what the Commanders, you know, see in Jaden Daniels. And, you know, I think already, I mean, he has put himself in an elite class within this rookie class, right, on top of what he can do. And then really quickly, sorry, fellas, but I do have to shout out Trent Scott because, you know, my dad went to Grambling and they're that was so much fun to see. You know, my dad wakes up, you know, he was kind of drifting away at the game. He calls me and he was very Grambling proud at that one. And so absolutely love the recognition that HBCUs are getting from Trent Scott. And to see a 320-pounder offensive tackle do that, that was really amazing to see. I think, honestly, really great momentum. After that, like, every guy was hype on the sideline for him. So that was super, super fun. And what a way, like you said, to remember that first NFL touchdown. So super excited for all that's happening right now in Washington. But all that to say, I think this team is focused. This is why they immediately wanted to go over to Arizona, because they want to keep that mindset, right? They want the momentum, but they don't want the guys to get distracted, right? There's a lot of headlines right now, but they really want to quiet the noise, and I think that's going to also be something that's going to help to separate Jaden Daniels and just keep him on track, I think, of what we all know can be a great NFL career ahead of him.
Kelsey, thanks so much for joining us. He's the real McCoy. I told you that a while back. He's the real McCoy, and he's showing everybody about it. Kelsey Nicole Nelson, the Washington, D.C. Sports Media Person of the Year. Kelsey, thanks so much for joining us. Always appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to seeing you guys during Super Bowl in New Orleans.
There you go.
Thanks, Kelsey.
We'll definitely catch lunch. Thank you so much, Kelsey. We'll be back to finish it up in our number one of sports talk right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're finishing up here in our number one of sports talk on the Big 870 WWL. I want to thank John Sumrall, Tulane football coach, on our Tulane Tuesday, brought to you by Bayou Black Electric, and also Kelsey Nicole Nelson, who does a great job covering both the Commanders and the Ravens out in the D.C. area. At 5:20, Mark Schlereff, one of our favorites, joins us here from Odyssey Sports to talk about the NFL, and we'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 WWL right after this news break.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northside's and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.